This is CM.
And Maggie.
Of Illusions of Grandeur, and you're listening to House of Noise.
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise Podcast.
How's everybody doing?
I think this, we're getting up there in episodes. I mean, the last one I can remember is 30.
Woo! We are getting up there in episodes.
Must be 31.
Boom.
Episode 31.
We are going to focus more on our podcast.
This was with
Maggie and
CM.
CM.
Of Illusions of Grandeur.
Yeah. Pretty interesting interview. Yeah. Talked about a lot of interesting experiences.
Yeah, he goes by CM, but she also goes by the Siren.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of plays into
their concept.
Their concept, yeah.
Yeah, they we actually...
stealing everything I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry. I'm a little thief. Thief in the night.
Quit stepping on my toes.
But they actually interviewed us from the studio that they were doing some recording in because they were commenting on the drummer.
That was another thing. It was funny. As they were, we were hearing drums in our headphones, but then we were hearing drums at the station because somebody was playing the drums next door.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So we talked to them about their, you know, the concept album, about their particular concepts, just how a lot of bands nowadays are kind of like making it a thing where they're doing like concept pieces versus just, you know, they're telling a story, really telling a story with their music, and how some of them are like doing graphic novels or whatever. And I think they had mentioned that they were actually...
I'm trying to remember, was the story that came first or the music that came first? I think they were writing music and she kind of had the story in her head, and she was writing as they were writing at the same time kind of thing.
Well, they said something about working on... that she was going to go and work on.
So like they really just had a concept, and then as the music progressed, she would write lyrics with that that went along with that concept, and that's how they wrote the songs and stuff. So, but yeah, this was a really great interview. We had a lot of fun talking to them, and we really hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah.
What have you been listening to lately? Do you listen? What, like, have you still been listening to podcasts at work?
Yeah.
What have you been listening to?
Our podcast, House of Noise.
You're listening to ours?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. So just trying to hear like what I sound like and, you know, some of our interviews.
You didn't tell me that.
Oh, surprise.
I've been obsessed with that Good Mythical Morning. It's a YouTube page.
Oh.
It's Rhett and Link. But I've been really, like, I still have my podcast that I listen to, but I started listening to, what was it? No, the ID10 podcast with Chris Hardwick.
Oh.
That man has been doing podcasts for 10 years, and he has over 1,000 interviews under his belt. Just on the podcast.
I want to pick his brain.
Just on the podcast alone. That doesn't count because he does the Talking Dead. He's also got a couple other projects that he works on, too. So
I need to pick his brain.
That's all he does is talk for a living. That is his living.
Yeah. His living, man.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to give a little personal information about
cool.
what we've been up to as well. You know, besides I go to work, I come home. I go to work, I come home. I go to work, I come home. But we do this, too.
We do. We're going to start doing more of it.
So, hope everybody enjoys this episode with Maggie and CM.
CM, from
Infinite.
Illusions of Grandeur.
I knew I was going to screw up somewhere. All right, enjoy.
Enjoy.
Welcome to
Jenna.
Yes, and Jim's here too. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you? This is CM and
hi, I'm Maggie.
With the manager Andrew.
Hey, welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, welcome to House of Noise.
Thank you.
Grateful to be here. Thanks for having us.
Hey, anytime, man. I always got to support the rock, that's for sure. So,
you know, I, welcome to the show, first of all. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day on this glorious Sunday and taking a moment to chat with us and let us know what's going on with Illusions of Grandeur.
I might be able to hear, it might not, in the background there. We're tracking drums for the next record, so if it gets in the way, just let us know.
Let's get that out of the way. So you're working on new material, huh?
We're in the studio right now working on the follow-up, the Songs of the Siren. It's the second album in the Siren saga. It's called The Siren.
Very nice.
I do like that you guys are doing a little like trilogy type
love thing. It.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, we're story writing right now as well. So we will have a comic coming out as well.
It's a typical Sunday here at the farm at the studio. We got our guitar player and our drummer downstairs, and I'm monitoring that as we're cutting tracks, and we're doing something a little different from the first record. We're cutting acoustic drums and MIDI. So it's really, it's like NASA downstairs right now in our studio. And then in the upstairs, we have our tour manager, Garby, with Maggie working on the comic book. And I'm kind of floating in between.
Oh, that is so cool, you guys. Wow. I love it because there's so many bands that we have been talking to of late that really are embracing the idea of a story and different outlets to tell their story. And I love it because I think music is very story oriented.
And it adds a whole new dimension that is, you know, really helps captivate the audience too.
Yeah, well, I mean, from day one, when Maggie and I started talking about doing this, we were planning on a rock band together tour, and there's nothing wrong with just getting up there and jamming and doing your thing, but we really wanted to, we saw like a hole, like a gap in the music industry, especially in our area, where there were no bands kind of putting on more elaborate shows and having a storyline and just, you know, it's almost like Kiss meets... not the Phantom, but almost like Kiss meets Korn meets Queen, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of putting on...
kind of bring an element of theater to the mix, you know? Right. So we have like a visual stimulus as well.
And then, but it all comes back down to the song.
Absolutely.
So first thing starts with the song and then we build from there. So it's... let me tell you, there's days where I have a massive headache just trying to line it all up because it's the songs and the story and then the visual, and it's a lot of directions, you know?
Yeah, like, do you guys do storyboarding, or what do you do to keep it all straight in your head? Like, what works for you?
Garby and I kind of work on the story, and it changes a little bit, you know, depending on which direction the songs go in. The song is key, so the songs come before the story, so it normally happens that the story gets melded to the song. It's, you know, it's not a story and then the song, it's the song and then the story, because the song has to remain key.
Right.
And we also take the point of view that some people that are listening to us may not know our story, may not know the story or care about it. They just want to hear a good song. So we kind of try to put a flip in each song where it'll fit into the story. And if you know the Saga Siren and you know what it is, you'll be like, oh, I see what they're saying. But if you were just someone turning on an internet radio station or an FM radio station and you heard the song, you'd be like, oh, man, I really like that song.
Right.
Like, you don't have to know anything about us to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's finding that balance. And we take a lot of time and energy to do so.
So where did the idea for bringing in the Norse mythology and all that kind of stuff, when did that come into play? Was that right away, or was that something that kind of started creating over time?
No, that's been something I've always been interested in. That comes from way back in grade school, eighth grade, when we had a whole unit on mythology, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And I'm a water sign. I'm actually right on the cusp of Aquarius and Capricorn.
Okay.
So I feel like really drawn to all that. and kind of embraced it and just brought it right into the music. So it's definitely something that's been there since the beginning.
Yeah, and the inception of the band was to have characters and a storyline, and it really was based around Norse mythology. And then, you know, since we're kind of creating our own world, we throw in a bunch of other stuff too.
Right.
So we're pulling from a lot of different mythology and Vikings and things like that, and kind of blending it together a little bit to create our own little world. So when people that come, like a lot of the fans are considered the Siren Nation. When the nation comes together for a show, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What some of the spin get on the story and the songs, and people bring they have their own imagination to bring it in. It's really cool.
Yeah, I didn't want to mock anything specific. I wanted there to be some room for imagination, and
sure.
You know, a lot of my personal experiences are embedded in the song, like a double entendre. So it's not just like Sam was saying, it's not just the story. It's emotion and personal experiences as well.
Right. Because, I mean, if you look at, you know, getting back to kind of like the mythology of like sirens and of themselves, you know, their song was beautiful, but listening to their song could cost you your life. So it's like, you know, how could something, I always wondered how could something of immense beauty be something that could
be so deadly.
But I think that's in, you know, the industry of itself. I think the industry has a draw, and it can appear beautiful to some people, but how many people, you know, legends that have been involved in the industry have ended up passing away because of that, you know, love of what they do. So it's kind of fitting, I think. I know I'm like presupposing all this stuff, but excuse me. Yeah, they're playing music in the studio next door to us too, so it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, our drummer's down there going to town.
I thought it was coming out of the headphones for a minute. I'm like, what the hell?
This couldn't be any more ironic right now.
Yeah, we started pre-production on the album, on the second album, about a month ago on the Siren album, and a lot of the songs are already kind of written, but we're doing a little bit of a different production technique on this album. Our new drummer, Ted, is just outrageous. Amazing musician and drummer. And so we're doing some different techniques, recording techniques, to kind of take it into a little bit of a different world. So we're recording not just acoustic drums, we're adding MIDI blended through them.
Yeah.
So we have our own studio here at our setup, which we call the farm,
because
we're in the middle of nowhere. So it's been an adjustment kind of to our Pro Tools rig and to our recording rig to bring all this MIDI information in. So it's been an interesting weekend. This is our first weekend of tracking. We're hoping to have the album completed and out by June for our summer tour. But it's the continuation of the story and the second album in the Sire series. So
how many how long do you think you're going to carry this story? Because like we just interviewed a band. Well,
we're doing three.
Oh, you guys are doing three. Well, see my call.
It's a trilogy. It's just,
trilogy.
Yeah, it's a trilogy. It started with the songs of the Siren, kind of introducing the Siren and what the whole story was about, and then it's on to the second album, which is the Siren, and then the third album, which we have planned out, is called The Siren Rises. So we're making our way along. It's got a good reception, actually. Just yesterday, we crossed 1 million streams.
Nice. Yes,
on the first album. That.
Congratulations.
In 6 months?
That's awesome.
In 6 months. It came out August 30th, like September 1st, and yesterday it hit 1 million. It hit just over 1 million streams, and actually today when we got up, it was 1,100,000.
Nice.
So people are starting to catch on, and it's pretty interesting to find it. Support us on Spotify and iTunes if you can, and go and check it out, or on Amazon, whatever your music download platform of choice is. Please go on and give it a listen. It's great to feel that. And Pavement, our label, has also been very, very supportive. They're out of Chicago, and they've just been nothing but encouraging and helping us to achieve our vision.
Seeing as how you guys are like right in the middle of a trilogy, are you guys already starting to think a little bit as a, what you're going to do after this trilogy is over, or is that something that you're not going to worry about until after the third part?
I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, if you looked at the amount of work we're in right now, to even think about that, my brain would probably melt out of my ears.
Don't let him fool you, though, because he's always a step ahead.
Yeah.
That's what
there's always an immense amount of writing going on. And I think, as far as I go, like, lyrically, I'm capable of writing just about anything, really. So I'm not too worried. I think there'll always be some sort of tie. I think I'll always have the stage persona as the siren. But I think it's flexible too, because I don't, you know, it's not like I wear a mermaid tail or something, you know. I have a pretty cool, like, Superman costume, sort of, you know, superhero costume. Yeah. So I think it has the capability to kind of flex a little bit, and there may always be some sort of tie to it. But I think with the amount of writing that we do as individuals, you know, I'm not really too worried about what's coming after, because I know there'll be material.
Okay, awesome. If for somebody that has never seen your live show, what would they expect to see?
I took Kiss crossed with Korn.
Korn in this moment.
It's a lot of light. It's a lot of smoke. It's a very theatrical
and very intense on stage.
And you know, it's the music kind of it goes everywhere. There's ballads and there's extremely heavy songs. So I mean, you'll get a blend of metal and hard rock. You know, that's where we kind of come from. So yeah, it's an intense show. A lot of strobe lights. Really?
Lots of lights. Yeah, lots of
yes.
Just really trying to bring
the crowd
that
a lot.
Yeah. Just really trying to bring that big stage feel to the smaller stage.
Yes.
And like you said, the theatrics, and I think that is something that's a little lacking in a lot of performances nowadays, is they don't bring that little extra element that, you know, to visually stimulate us while we're, you know, enjoying the music.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a gentleman come up to us our last show at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, and he said, you know, if you don't care for your music, he's like, which I love, he said, there's so much theatrics. He's like, and then if you're not into the theatrics, he's like, you guys are all like, everybody's done up in a costume, and like, that's a lot to look at. And he's like, and then you have the lights, and he's like, you have an element of everything. He said, it's really enjoyable. You know, he's like, even if I didn't care too much for the music, there would be something else I could get into. So that was kind of a cool compliment, you know, which is what we try to do, you know, stimulate people in, you know, in every manner. You're on a stage, you know, take the stage. Don't just, you know, stand there.
Right. Yeah. I love your guitar or your microphone, you know, style with this.
Davey.
Oh, yeah, Davey. Oh,
he's got his own Instagram page now.
Oh. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I actually built him. So
did you really? How long did it take you to build him?
Oh, my God. I think I spent probably, months, maybe 12 hours on the tentacles alone, you know, over time. It's a skull from, like, Home Depot, like your box of bones kit.
Right. That's so badass. It's beautiful.
I opened him up and, like, cored out the middle and put a bunch of tape and foam, all kinds of stuff in them to get the tentacles to hang in there properly. And he's had many different versions of the things that are underneath him. And he's wrapped with a chain. He's got mini skulls.
It makes me laugh, though, because he's, you know, been on stage since the first show, and he had many different forms. But when you have people going, where's Davey?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, people actually know that he's not there.
It made me laugh, though, when someone actually asks, hey, where's Davey at? Can I get a picture of Davey? And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. All right, cool. Come on up, you know?
Part
like,
of the band.
Don't ask for a picture with me. That's fine.
Right, the mascot.
You get too close, and the person's like, oh, no, can you move over just a little bit?
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, hey, do you mind taking the picture?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
sure. the mic stand's getting more attention. But no, it's actually really cool. Again, it's people bringing their own vision of it, and I love that actually. Yeah. I think it's so much fun that it's kind of like when I was younger and I went and saw Iron Maiden. I couldn't wait for Eddie to come out.
Oh my God!
You know,
that's something you wait for. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah, forget that. You know, Steve Harris, one of the best bass players in the world, or Nico on drums, or yeah. You know, amazing. Like that's all great, you know. But you're like, there's Eddie. You know, you freak out.
Yep.
So yes. I kind of got that from when they're like, oh, Davey. I was like, oh boy.
I like that it gives people something to connect to. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, so I'm going to change gears a little bit, but you did bring up the 2300 Arena show, and doing my research, I came across the story of Zeke and what happened to him during the show or whatever, and he got basically got in the middle of that fight and got bashed in the head. Like, that whole story to me was nuts. Like,
There was a security guard that... He was kind of hot all night long. Like, he was, you know, there's nothing going on, and he'd rush up to the bands, like, almost like looking for trouble, if you will, you know, like peeking into our dressing rooms, like, you know, again, like looking for something. That's like weird. Expecting there to be a problem. And like the whole night he was just kind of fiery.
It was loadout. The show was over. It was not even, you know, anything. It just turned into a lot because he pulled out a baton and got Zeke's guy right in the head.
Oh my God.
I guess a fight broke out in the crowd at the very end of the show. And Zeke
said he ran over
Zeke, and the promoter, they were like 20 feet from it or so. And then Zeke ran in to stop it basically. And, you know, very gently, you know, just tried to pull the guy off. And I guess the security guard had thought that he was part of the problem and hit him with the baton. So
other than that, a great night.
It was a great night.
Hanging with Tantric and Zeke Sky and School of Rock open, and 2300 Arena is an amazing, amazing place for us to play and put on the show. So, you know, we try not to look at that as one bad thing that happened, but unfortunately he ended up with like 15 stitches in his eye. You know, not a good situation, but these things can happen, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. And we were talking about on the way here about how, you know, our favorite venue to go to is the Machine Shop in Flint, and the staff there is just absolutely amazing. They always have an eye out. They have enough staff to cover the entire area, and it just seems like this place didn't have that element to it where it really needed it too.
I don't know that I can comment on that.
Yeah, I don't really know. We've never actually been there before. The promoter and his crew, they were great. The security guards were provided by the venue. Yeah, again, you know, we really haven't been there before to have anything to compare it to. And
I mean, and the only reason I noticed this guy was because we were our dressing rooms were on this back second floor back area, and so we were kind of off on our own. So I did see this guy come through several times, and he had this look on his face like, what's going on? What's going on? We were, you know, we're sitting in the back having a sandwich, going over the stage and going over what we're doing.
Everything was really calm.
Nothing wild going on.
No, nothing at all.
And so here at the end of the night, he ripped out a baton and was hitting people. I was kind of like, what?
Yeah, just...
Yeah,
but you know, and I can't say enough about the staff there reacting really well. And actually, our head of our merch, Bonnie, she took him to she took Zeke to the hospital. So you know, we just kind of jumped in and as a team kind of helped out. But
good for you.
Like I said, it was just one guy.
Yeah,
who was jealous.
Yeah.
You know, well, give someone an inch, they think they're a ruler.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you just never know.
Other than that, though.
Yeah. You just never know with people. And if it's, you know, if the venue has hired like a private security company, you know, you don't know their vetting process. You don't know. You just don't know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And then that's the thing is, we're grateful that there's security there. And you can tell sometimes, like we've played a lot of clubs, we went on tours. When you walk in and you see a security guard, kind of, I mean, almost everyone can get a vibe from somebody about, man, this guy, you know. And we're grateful when they have security. It's okay. We played some, we played a couple venues in the Ukraine, where we had no security, and there were guys trying to rip that, come out of the audience and grab her off stage.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah. So we had to kind of step in front.
So, yeah, that was scary. Yeah.
That was a scary night. We were in the Ukraine in Dnipro or somewhere.
Yeah, Dnipro.
And it was crazy. The venue, this one guy had it in his head that he was, I guess, taking her home with him.
Oh my God.
Did you guys step in and, you know, play Big Brother and protect her and all that? Or, like, how did that all play out?
Yeah, we stepped forward. And she actually, when we tour, I created almost this, it's almost like a Freddie Mercury kind of headstand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and, you know, it is for a show. It's, you know, have the flag on it and she's been waving around. And, you know, when we're doing our thing. But it is also, you know, a little bit of a weapon.
It's like a protection thing to, like, push people back if I need to. Because, you never, in other countries, like, everything is obviously extremely different, you know. So, the guys can't, like, jump in and you know, not beat somebody up or whatever. But, you know, like, protect me. I sometimes have to, like, push back a little bit myself.
That happens on the rarest occasion. But
yeah, that's also a rare thing.
The other extremity of it, we had no security that night, and it was kind of like, oh, my God.
And, well, and here in the States, that guy would have been kicked out of the bar.
Oh, yeah,
and they, it was like they took him outside, and he came back in, and then he took him back outside again, and then he came back in. Like, here, that wouldn't happen. You know, he just, he'd be kicked out, period.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Even so, one photographer said, you ruined the show because she had to stand with the drummer, and we couldn't see her.
You get both experiences.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think, honestly, I think really kind of what maybe changed the perception a little bit, I think what woke a lot of the musicians up, I know, like, I've read Scott Ian's biography, and I think, you know, the Dimebag, when Dimebag was killed, I think that, you know, kind of made musicians maybe
really
realize,
open their eyes, like, wow,
you know, these people coming up on stage diving off back, like, in the days of, in the 80s and stuff like that, like, we don't necessarily know that some of these people might not be a little, you know, or maybe
mentally stable.
You know, so
there's an interesting segment in the Tom Petty documentary Running Down a Dream, where early on in his career, I guess around 78 79, just before Damn the Torpedo, he got pulled into the audience, and it's on film. It's in the film, and he's talking about how he gets the crowd revved up, and the crowd can be a great thing, but then he's that experience because they beat the crap out of him.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, you also have to remember it can be a dangerous thing.
Exactly.
And I tell you, some of the festivals we played, the siren gets the crowd revved and gets them going, and you can see the barrier start to move, and you can see it. So there's a certain amount of excitement to that. And then there's also a certain amount of shit.
Danger,
You know, they might be coming over that barrier. So it's kind of like, it's that fine edge, and I think that's what makes metal and rock exciting.
Yeah.
But 99% of the crowd, they're there to have a good time.
Exactly.
They're not looking for trouble. They're not looking for anything. But yeah, you're right. You could have that one person who is there to start a fight, or that one person is looking for something that, you know, or it just came specifically to have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, it happened recently too at Knotfest in Mexico. Yeah, they brought in a barrier.
I was going to bring that up too. I was going to bring that up. You know, it's that mob mentality, really. As soon as a little bit of the crowd starts going and doing something, the whole rest of the crowd is going to go and do it too.
Like, because I think at KnotFest, they actually, I think Corey Taylor basically told them to knock it the fuck off, or they were
canceled that show and then had to come back like 2 days later to finish it and do it again.
Because people were being a-holes. It's just like...
They're lucky they came back. We just did an interview where I got questioned about that, you know, and I think it sucks because, you know, I don't think people quite grasp, you know, just because, you know, people like Slipknot are big musicians and maybe you think they have all this money, you know, it takes so much manpower and time and energy to put a show on like that, you know, and for one or two people to get that mob mentality and you literally mess it up for everybody, like not just the musicians, but the people that paid and were just there to see their favorite band or whatever it is, you know, it's like, control yourself.
Get your shit together.
We have to pass the date over. There's no way we can turn around.
Right.
Yeah.
We run on a budget, and you have to, each show is paying for the next and moving along. So if we have something canceled or someone go crazy, turn around and go back and do a show, that's a huge expense.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, knock on wood, we haven't had to do that yet, but, you know, we've got some, you know, we've got another summer of intense touring coming up.
Yep.
So it's, you know, we're more aware now. And as we move along, the more experience we get, it plays into our plans and how we handle things as far as crowds and meet and greets and things like that. So, you know, we like to be accessible. We want people to be able to walk up to us after the show at the merch booth and talk to us and, you know, get an autograph and get a photograph and all that stuff. And that's part of it, you know. Yeah. It's part of that tactile experience of someone really comes to see you play, they're not only enjoying the music, they want to meet you. And we love that. You know, we try and meet every fan we can. And, you know, we'll continue to do so. But just, you know, kind of keep that little awareness. Watching out.
Yeah.
The guys normally, you know, when the show's over, they normally have their eye on me. They're like, somebody be with Maggie, somebody go with Maggie. Somebody's normally with me at all times, and especially overseas, because, you know, you really never know what you're going to get. I had a photographer one time just grab me by the face, kiss me square on the lips, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I wasn't ready for it, and it was, you know, they're a little looser about that over there, but it was a little aggressive, and I just kind of grabbed my guitar player. I'm like, yo, come, like, get over here. This dude's got me by the hair.
It doesn't help that there's a...
Yeah, it's intense, but we said that night, you know.
You got that language barrier, too, so it really adds another element of the unknown, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a few that speak English or broken English, but, yeah, there's definitely that barrier there, you know? It's difficult sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's actually, it makes things a little easier because it's like everybody's just kind of happy and it's like all in good music, you know, everybody just kind of passed around a pleasant vibe. But yeah, you never really know what you're going to get, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had people try to throw their children with me up on stage and.
Yeah, that was fun. The guy with the dog cup.
Oh yeah, I had a guy hand me a dog collar with a huge, massive chain, like a chain, like a heavy chain. Not,
oh my God!
You know,
that was good.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
Wow.
That was
in Bolivia.
That was Rock the Lava.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would have turned it around on me, like, you put it on, I'll pull the chain, fucker.
Yeah. Oh, he was wearing it. I wasn't wearing it.
Oh, so he was handing you the chain to pull. Okay.
Yeah.
Strange. It was fun, though.
Well, how many times?
Just kind of go with it.
How many times?
This year, we'll probably be returning to Europe in June for a little while, but I think we're going to be concentrating on the States for the rest of the summer. So we'll have all our itinerary up on. You can always go to iogmusic.com and see where we're playing or what we're up to. And our YouTube channel, we upload behind the scenes studio stuff and not so much songwriting stuff. We're studio. You know, you can kind of check out what we're doing day by day, especially over the next 2 months. We're going to be kind of in the studio. We'll be here playing a little bit in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We're doing two festivals, one music conference and one music festival. And other than that, we're kind of off the road until May. So you can catch up with us on our YouTube channel and stuff just to see kind of what we do day to day. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll put the link to that when I upload this to the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
What was I going to ask? When you guys are on stage, you get into character, right? Like, so when you get off stage, do you kind of stay in that character the whole time, or do you kind of loosen up a little bit?
No. Actually, I think that's what I hear the most is on stage, I'm like this fierce, intense, like ball of fire. And then I come off stage, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And people are like, whoa, like,
right.
I did not think you were going to be that nice. I hear that a lot. Like,
nice.
Wow, you are really nice. Like, I guess I have this intensity on stage and people think I'm going to be like this fierce, like ferocious beast or something. And then off stage, I'm like, oh, thank you. You're so nice to meet you. And, you know, so I stay in character on stage and then off stage, I'm just kind of myself. So, I mean, I kind of get the feeling that people like that because I think I'm more approachable that way. Yeah, you know, and I'm not a hard ass. I don't, you know, as much as I might look like that on stage.
Right.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Yeah. Chris is the same off and on. That's for sure. He's, you know, you're the beast. but a nice beast, you know, right, but just a beast, right. You know, honest. And
I think that's one of the first things I remember hearing people say about her. When she came off stage, they're like, I can't believe how nice you are. They're scared to approach her. But still my favorite was we were playing with Striper and people prayed over her.
Oh yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Striper being the religious band that they are.
Yeah.
They, people. A woman asked me if she could pray over me. I was like, were you listening to the music? It's not really, it wasn't, I don't curse in any of my music. It wasn't demonic or anything. Right. Like, it's all based around like mythology, but
yeah.
I was like, sure, why not? Like, sure. You know, I didn't, I let her do her thing. That's fine. You know,
whatever helps you sleep at night.
Yeah. And that is also, it's fun because we cross over through so many genres that, you know, we'll be on a festival with heavy bands, and then we'll be out with Striper, or our label mate Puddle of Mud, or the other night Tantric, which might be considered more alternative rock or whatever. And then we come in. So people, when they look at us and they haven't heard of us, some of them, they might be like, "What is this going to be like?" And then they find a common thread, like they hear we do play hard rock, we do play heavy metal. So it's an interesting quandary for us that we can fit in with so many different bands and do so much. I love it.
Yeah.
So when we make a new fan or someone meets us off stage or they see us and they're like, "Oh wow, you're nice people." Like,
generally, right?
I always say that we're just people.
You guys have actually gotten to play with a few different bands that we're friends with.
That we're friends with.
Yeah, we're friends with Raina Z, and we're friends with all the guys at Dead by Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, both bands, both great nights. Actually, we just did
with
Harrisburg Midtown Arts a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. We love Z.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very good musicians, very nice people.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun night. So, we've actually been looking to do more shows with them. So, hopefully, we'll be out in the, you know, Pittsburgh general area. I don't know when, but I hope soon because we keep talking about doing some tour dates.
That was also said. She said, just, you know, give us a heads up. It's like 3 months so we can plan and really push the show. And yeah, we can go up there and do some more shows with them.
Yeah, I love Zosha. I love Berg. I love all those guys. They are just so amazing. And
they're really nice.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They really are. Yeah, we had a good time after the show. It was very late, late in the evening, early in the morning, whatever you want to call it, in Harrisburg. So we're just kind of sitting around shooting the shit while the gear got packed up. It was great to meet them because we've talked online and have been admirers of each other's music and stage shows for a while. So that was a pretty powerful night as far as on stage presence and on people getting their money's worth. So that was fun. So we hope to do more of that coming up in 2020.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
This is the time when everybody's trying to plan all their all the touring and festivals, and you know, it's if you don't get on it right now, you honestly miss out. I'm sure you guys are doing a lot of planning right now.
Yeah, when that. We're in the plan mode. We're in the second album because it's, you know, they wanted us to continue to stay on the road, but we think it's important to get the second kind of chapter of the story out. So we decided to take these couple winter months because unless we're going deep south, everywhere else is going to snow and suck for most of January, February. Yeah. So we're like, we might as well bury ourselves in the studio and get this second album done so that when we do come back out, you know, March, April, May, and we're playing, you know, we're getting ready to offer a second album. And then come June, you know, when it comes out, which is kind of our set date for it to be released, you know, we'll spend the whole summer touring on the first and second record together. So it's you know, gives us a little more to play off of live. Right. And as we've been kind of pushed a little more into headlining slots, you know, we can do an hour, we can do an hour and a half, but with two albums, we can do a 2 hour show. And that's seemingly what people are asking of us. So getting in the studio and finishing that out is our priority right now, delivering a solid product and some great songs.
When you guys went to Europe, I'm sorry to switch gears on you, but when you guys went to Europe, were you guys headlining out there or were you direct support for somebody?
in Europe in 2018, we were opening for people. The second tour, mostly we headlined, especially throughout the Ukraine. We were put in as headliners. It was great. We were really shocked. As a matter of fact, the one show we were talking about in Dnipro, we couldn't actually have access to the stage after our sound check. We were kind of in the backstage area of the venue. So we didn't know what we were going to come out to and how the show opened at that point. The intro began and the drummer would walk out on stage, get behind the kit. All of a sudden we hear this loud, I went, how many people are out there?
Right.
And we pop out on stage and the venue was packed front to back. Wow. So it was shocking how many people had heard of us and had come out to support us. We ended up headlining the entire tour. It was a great experience, and it really kind of taught us a little more being the road. Especially, it was our guitar players, their first kind of real touring experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really neat to go to a town where, you know, you've never been, but people know your music,
right,
and they show up in droves to kind of hang out with you. And even some of them knew some of the lyrics. So
it was, oh yeah, that was cool.
They're singing along with
that's
you.
Cool when they start singing along.
So it's got to be...
You know, they don't speak English, but they know the lyrics.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's got to be semi-cost effective for you guys to go over there, but do you guys almost break even? Or because I know it's expensive to get all of your gear over there and get, you know, the transportation and everything. And I'm just wondering how...
Yeah, well, we're kind of a modern band. There's no guitar cabinets.
Okay.
Everything's direct in ears. So our live show playing, gear wise, is very stripped down. I mean, we use all in-ear, we use all cabinet emulation and the PA. So really, it was pretty cost-effective for us to go.
Okay.
But it is about traveling and experiencing. So we like to travel a little bit better than staying in like crap motels. So that cost. So that depending on where we want to stay in which town, we're not staying in hostels if we don't have to. Although we did stay in that one.
We did stay in one. Yeah.
10
yeah.
stories in the air.
No elevators.
No.
Oh my god.
In summer heat.
Oh.
That was it. That was a lot of fun, but for the most part, you know, we did okay. You know, we managed to cover our expenses and do well. And then, we made a lot of new fans and a lot of people that support us from over there and want us to come back. So, you know, here's the return to the Ukraine. Hopefully, if it's not completely embroiled in war, we can get back and go tour and see our friends and our fans again.
Well, $1 and a U.S. American dollar is quite a few hryvnia, so it's our dollar goes a long way over there. You know, so.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the general census in most of Europe, except for, you know, for like the... What's the euro? The euro is actually less than a dollar or more than a dollar. So it's the opposite.
Yeah, France and UK are kind of... Yeah,
it's a little expensive. There was a night our tour manager, Garby, God bless his soul, outside of... I don't even remember what town it was. We ended up staying in a resort, in a Ukrainian resort, high-end resort.
Wow.
And I remember it was about a month in, and we were tired. Mm-hmm. So I took the whole band and crew for like a dinner. It was in this resort, all steak and, you know, wine and beer and all this. And I, you know, we're talking like 20 people. And I was like, this has got to feel... It was $70.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, my God, that is awesome.
Yeah. So I decided at that point I wanted to live there. But the dollar goes a long way there. But and then we learned the hard way, I guess, in England. We kind of got hit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The prices of everything.
Goes the other way.
We went back to England after we left the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. There's the money.
Exactly.
It balances
exactly.
out, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. You get hit in one area, you save in another, and get hit in another.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Germany speed.
pretty much the same as the UK and France as well. It's not exactly inexpensive there either.
Yeah.
No, we did all right. Although the hotels there were kind of weird.
Yeah. You guys definitely would fit playing Wacken, though, in Germany.
We can't confirm nor deny that yet, yeah. But it's coming.
Awesome. That's on my bucket list. That's on my bucket list. If I were to do an international festival, I would want to do Wacken. Don't know if I'd be able to handle the crowds because it's crazy.
It's on the table for 2020. We're just waiting for details. So hopefully we might be able to announce that as part of our European schedule this year.
Yeah, fingers crossed on that one.
Well, if you guys have gotten you know, the following that you say you have, then you definitely have a shot.
Yeah, so,
yeah, we got our fingers crossed. We got our fingers crossed for
both
you.
Both hands.
Too. Oh yeah,
all my fingers
and toes. And
we appreciate that. Thanks. Thank you. Well, like I said, you can always just go to our hub for everything is iogmusic.com. If you go there, you can link to our Twitter, to our Instagram, to our Facebook, to our Spotify, whatever, all the platforms out there, and see what we're up to. And on Facebook, Maggie has her own little Siren Nation that you can go on to, and she's always posting stuff from the gym and other places.
Yeah, so, I love it. God bless you.
Get a look into our lives. But you know, we're here, we're working on the next record and working on the next tour, and you know, it's always great when people can discover our music, and we love to hear from bands too. That's another, you know, big part of what we do is networking and meeting people like Zosa and Raina Z and all these different bands that we fit with. They like what we do, and then we discover we like what they do, and so that's been a great journey for us as well. So you know, it just keeps going, and we're heading on into 2020 and the Siren album.
Yeah, I love it. You guys are this has me very happy and excited, because you know, I prefer rock and roll, and as a woman, it's great to see more women, you know, kind of like being strong and kicking ass, and just, you know, like, to me, Daryl Pesh, and you know, women that are like, you know, you have that strength and that strength of character, and I think, and in a sense, it's good for young girls to see, you know,
empowering women.
Empowering. I think
I know Z's real big on that.
Absolutely.
So she is very, very big on women and getting female-led bands together. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's important, because you know, a lot of times you think of a female vocalist and you think of a dainty, you know, a dainty female.
Yeah.
But there's powerful women out there, and that's important for young girls to see, embracing themselves, you know, no matter what that aspect of themselves may be. You know,
exactly.
Ginger brings a lot of that to the table, and Arch Enemy, and
yes.
Who else we have out there?
Dora's still doing it.
Yeah, Dora Pesh is still doing it. Lita Ford's out there too. Yeah. Still, you know.
She's back, thank God. Yeah. Down the road with Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Summer. I'm looking forward to that show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nita Strauss. Oh, you know, she's a guitar player, but she's amazing.
Yeah.
I love her too. Amazing. She's great.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, Maria Brink. Can't forget about Maria.
I know.
She's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Maria is very. I saw in this moment. At the last Rock on the Range,
Sonic Temple.
And then when it became Sonic Temple, and her stage show is so interesting theatrically,
Well, I'll just say we had the pleasure of seeing Doro Pesh play last year when they came around with Metal Church. I mean,
still got it, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got to interview Mike Howe.
Heck yeah.
So
yeah,
it was awesome. It was a good night for us.
Yeah, just to see Doro, I just love it. I just want to see more women in that role, you know, being strong and rocking out. Because I love rock and roll, and, you know, I know, you know, I just... Little girls need to see that it's okay to not be a wallflower, that you can stand apart, you can be yourself, you can be a little unique, and it's okay, you know.
Yeah, I see it with my daughter.
Absolutely.
You know, she's 12 years old, and she's gotten into one of our friends that's in a band. The name's Eva Under Fire, and she really gravitated towards them. And you know, I got to introduce her to the lead singer, and we got to hang out with her for a minute. And she was super nervous, but
yeah,
you know,
it was so cute. Yeah.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, I love the kids. Yeah,
no, they're really important. They still have that wonderment in their eyes, you know. Like to them, it's like this awe inspiring moment, and it's really cool. I've had a couple experiences with children in the crowd, and there's nothing like that, because if you can remember what it's like to be that young and what it's like to be in a concert and look up and see somebody that, you know, to you is, you know, a superhero or, you know, a god or whatever, you know, just being seeing it through children's eyes, you know, to them it's like this magical experience, and that's like one of my favorite things. I love the kids. We've had quite a few shows with little kids, and it's awesome to talk to them and stuff, because they just look at you like, oh, you know, it's really cool.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's so
the kids are the best.
Yeah, kids are the best. You know, the funny thing is you said something earlier about, you know, we're just people. And
sometimes it's hard for people to recognize that.
It's hard. I mean, when I first started interviewing musicians about 5 years ago, I had a little bit of like nervousness and anxiety. It was like, you know, I saw you guys because of the position that you're in, what you get to do. And it was like, it was initially hard for me to see that, you know, Dave Mustaine is just a dude who puts his pants on the same way I do, one leg at a time. And, you know, he's a human being and you're a human, you know, it's just, but as I've done this, that's why our shtick when we do our interviews is it's all conversational. We don't even write questions.
I came into this 3 years ago and she'd already been doing interviews.
Yeah.
I came into this with that mentality already, like it's just a person. And she's like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm getting all nervous still. And I'm like, it's a person. They play instruments and they sing.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting, but
no, they still have
doesn't make them godly.
Well, no, we still all have, you know, people problems. We all pay bills, you know, we all have families and, you know, some of us still have normal day jobs and, you know, things of that nature. So yeah, we're all just people, you know, it just happens to be a talent that, you know, other people are interested in, you know?
Yeah. For me, it's interesting to meet people that, you know, like guitar player Chris Broderick, he played with Megadeth for a while, and now he's doing other projects. And when you meet guys like that who are still kind of, you know, you figure you're playing with Megadeth,
one of
the biggest bands in the world, but he's still kind of grinding it out. And he's just a guy who plays guitar.
Yeah.
And then you meet legendary people. You mentioned Dave Mustaine, and you meet legendary people. I got to meet him, in Philadelphia, I think around 90. Yeah. 91, and he was like a godlike figure. And, you know, it was really interesting. See, you see different aspects of it. And I've also been in the recording industry forever. So, and in that terms of when I was a recording engineer in LA, you'd see a lot of guys come through the door who were, you know, these legendary songwriters and, you know, big guys. I'm not going to name drop, but there were a couple people who came through to, you know, they were legends. And some of them came through at Rockstar, kind of, you know, excuse the French, dickhead attitude.
Yeah.
Some people came in like, hi, it's great. I can't wait to work with you. Oh, yeah, I heard so much about you.
Yeah.
You know, and so you see both ends of it. But I just think that it's, you know, everyone's a person.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves respect. And they're, you know, they're there to see and listen to our music and meet you. And it's better to leave them with a good impression of, wow, they're really nice people, you know, and genuinely be like that than wow, what an asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
Nobody's untouchable. You know, at the end of everything, everybody dies. So we're all very much human beings.
I won't name names, but we played a show.
I don't want to talk about it.
Maggie was very excited to meet a certain singer, and that person turned out to be a nightmare.
It was terrible. It was such a letdown, too, because, you know, here's the thing. As far as band goes, like, everybody was at the beginning at one point. You know, it's hard to believe when you think of bands like Metallica and AC/DC and, you know, Anthrax and all these huge bands in this moment, all these other bands, you know, it's hard to think about them at one point, you know, being in somebody's basement or somebody's garage.
Right.
You know, but they were, you know. Everybody was there at some point. So in my opinion, for any band to give somebody such a brush off, such a cold, you know, mentality, it's like, don't you remember? Like, don't you remember how hard this climb is and how difficult it is to do what we're doing and all the obstacles that you face, you know? And I just, you know, to go along with that, I'd say, you know, people, we fail all the time, you know, but true failure is just giving up. So, you know, this climb is difficult enough without, you know, people that we admire, like, pushing us off, you know? And it would have been really simple for
kindness to go a long way. Just like, hi, nice to meet you. And it really didn't go like that. You know, so I was pretty gravely disappointed. But yeah, I think people get caught up in it and they just kind of forget where we all came from.
Like, I'm not saying if I that meeting Dave Mustaine is not on my bucket list. And if I did actually get to interview him on our show, that I wouldn't like have to have a stiff drink before, just do something to calm my nerves. Cause I do live and breathe Megadeth.
Gonna calm your nerves.
right, exactly. I do love Megadeth, and we have interviewed Dave Ellefson, he's a very humble and just down to earth.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I would probably crap my pants if I actually got Dave. Yeah, he is. But yeah.
I was going to say the age of the rock star, like that mentality where they're kind of feel godly, I think that in a lot of ways has kind of gone to the wayside. And I don't see it as often as, you know, as you used to. I think for the most part.
I tell you the thing that really encourages me is back when I started doing this, it was kind of like, it was the not just the rock star attitude, but the wasted rock star attitude. Yeah. People drinking and drugs and stuff. And to see that kind of exit out and people, nice. You know, it's no longer, you know, hand in hand with it. To see a lot of people out there doing it and doing it straight. And respecting it, and doing, you know, music, and that for me has been such a great change in the industry and persona of musicians that it really gives me hope. You know, that it's just heading in the right direction.
Yeah, the rock and metal world is definitely changing, and I believe it's for the best.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
me too.
We're definitely going through a transition.
Yeah, I agree.
Now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, those legendary bands are kind of starting to slowly age out.
Yep.
And it's up to the younger bands coming up to kind of not take their place, but make their own mark.
Right.
And maybe continue that journey, you know. And, you know, we're doing our damnedest. Put on a great, great music and try and make something worthwhile for fans to come and see. And I think if everybody did that, not really worry about what other people are doing, worry about what you're doing, worry about putting on a great show and writing great songs and forget all the rest, because all the rest of those things, fans and money and all that stuff, it will come if it's going to come.
Yep,
but the best place for us to start, great songs and a great show. And if you do those well, you can, you know, feel respectable when you're done.
Well, I hope soon we actually get to catch one of those great shows, because we would love to see you guys perform.
Definitely.
Yeah, just keep an eye on iotmusic.com. Our tour list will be going up for the, I guess, fall and spring, or spring and summer. And, you know, hopefully we'll be at a venue near you guys soon.
Awesome.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to both of you. Like I said, hopefully we get to see you perform soon. Good luck on the new album and all the writing process and the
comics.
And the comics and all that. And you know, we just had a great time talking to you.
Yeah,
we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so much. Yeah, we did as well. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Really appreciate you guys taking the time to have us on your show. And, you know.
Man, cool format. Cool open format. You know, I'm used to being questions fired at me, which is fine, too. But it's just, you know, it's a different format. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, we love doing this format. We love it. It's just a conversation between people.
We always try and be genuine.
People.
So
we are people. We're all people. And I think.
Absolutely. Exactly, man.
Well, I like that, you know, like we're kind of talking about a little bit earlier, trying to get that that personal, like, you know, we're just people, you're just people, trying to relate on normal level type.
Yeah, just, you know, like.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, if we were sitting in a restaurant watching football or, you know, having a beer or whatever, you know, like just shooting the shit, you know. It's kind of how we look at it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much, and we look forward to more news and may your streams keep growing.
Fingers crossed for Vakken.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We'll keep you up to date.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks so much.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Bye bye.